changing everything we were taught. Change it all. The world judges a situation only according to what it sees, it feels, it experiences, and it tastes. The world judges everything tangibly. They judge everything with what they can see. Like I said, seeing is believing, that we've always heard. How many of y'all heard that? Seeing is believing. That contradicts everything the Bible says. That the world has taught us so many things in our life growing up that has brought us up to a point that it makes it harder for us to believe what the Word says. You can say you believe it all day long. I believe every word out of this. But when it comes to your obedience and to your actions that are behind your faith, how strongly do you believe it? How strongly do you believe what the Word says? If God says He will provide for you, and your eyes don't see the providing, what do you begin to believe? If God says you are healed, but you feel the pain, the doctors tell you you're not healed, what do you believe? Everything of the world seems to contradict this book. We've grown up in the world. We live our lives in the world. Our jobs in the world. Our school in the world. Everything that's taught to us is about, even as a child, feel it. See it. Touch it. Grab the circle. Put it in the hole. Grab the square. Put it in the square hole. Everything's about what we can see, what we can feel, what we can hear, what we can taste. They teach us colors. They teach us the sounds. They teach us all these things that are tangible, all these things that we can see. So when we get into the spiritual aspects of things, a lot of times it's hard for us to wrap our minds around it because of what we've been taught in the world. The church must walk by faith and not by sight. It must become one that walks by what he sees in the Spirit and what the Word says. But you hear that? The church must walk by faith and not by sight. In the world, we walk by sight. In the world, we wouldn't close our eyes and just say, okay, I'm walking by faith. In the world, you go to stumble, they say, open your eyes. Like I said, the church must walk by faith and not by sight, and must become one that walks by what he sees in the Spirit and what the Word says. So when you walk by what you see in the Spirit and what the Word says, is if God says it, it will happen. That we have to stop looking at the spiritual aspect, the spiritual realm of things, with our natural eyes. We've learned for so long that we must be able to see it. We must be able to touch it. When we open up our Bible, it's the opposite. That we've trained ourselves in a way of needing to see things, needing to hear things. If the doctor, you go to the doctor, right? The doctor says you have cancer. 6 months later, you go back. First of all, you believed the doctor when he told you you had cancer. 6 months later, you go back to the same doctor, and the doctor says, you know what? There's no signs of the cancer. But think about this, right? How many of y'all believe it when the doctor tells you that? The thing is, if man will tell us something and we believe it, when God tells us something, how much more should we believe it? Think about that. The doctor would come in and say, you know what, we've gotten the test back. He doesn't have to show you the test results. He just comes to you and says, you know what, we got the test back. You've got cancer and it's spread throughout your whole body. Oh man. You believe that what he's telling you is the truth. You didn't even see the cancer. You didn't see the paperwork where, oh, looky, I see all the cancer. No, you saw nothing, but he stated the fact that you had cancer and you believed him. So when God states a fact and says, you are healed, you didn't see the results, you didn't see it on paper, why is it that somebody of so much higher power and authority is less likely for us to believe a lot of times than what man says? My dog, my poor dog, the broken paw, the broken hand. Rush the dog to the doctor. The doctor doesn't show me any x-rays, but says, yes, your dog has a broken hand, a broken paw. I believe the doctor. Every time we go back, it's not ready yet. I believe the doctor, it's not ready. But when the doctor tells us things, we're so freely to believe it. But we say we believe the word of God. We say what God's word is true. But why don't we step out and act on it? Why don't we really believe it? Because the world has trained us in certain ways. The world is true. We have to get our mind off of what the world tells us and begin to get our mind on the spiritual aspect of things. If God says, lay your hands on the sick and they will recover, they will recover. A doctor says, here, I need you to do this for 6 weeks, this therapy, and you will be better at the end of 6 weeks. You will believe that at the end of 6 weeks, I'll be better. You're telling people, 2 more weeks, I get this cast off my leg. 2 more weeks, it'll be better. 2 more weeks, another week, another day. You believe what the doctor said. But we've got the prescription to everything we need right here. We've got the holy doctor right here. The one that tells the truth. The ones that's facts are never a lie. How many of y'all know the reason they call it practicing medicine? They're just practicing. So many times the doctor's wrong. This is why a lot of times when they give you some news, I'm going to go get a second opinion. There's a reason they call it an opinion. Because it's not always true. Because honestly, these doctors are kind of like the weathermen. But we begin to put so much faith in the world, and it seems we use so much of our faith for the world that we lack in putting our faith in God, that we lack where our faith needs to be. In the world, we walk out of places the same way we went in. We may change physically, like the haircut I just got, but not spiritually. When we go into a place in the world, we aren't expecting a change. We don't expect anything to have a life-changing moment for us. But with God, we must leave changed and know it. We must leave changed and know it in every aspect. When you walk into these doors, you need to be expecting a change from God. You need to be expecting a touch from Him, expecting that when you leave this place tonight, you'll be a different person than when you walked in. That when you leave and you come in this place sick, that you're going to leave this house healed. That when you come in this place depressed, you're going to leave this house with peace, joy, happiness. When you come in this place and you feel unloved, you leave this place with the more love than you can ever imagine. This is the way it needs to be in the church. That there needs to be a change that takes place in our life. There needs to be a change that takes place over and over and over again. And the next time we come in, we go, you know what happened last time? I can't wait to get back again. I can't wait to see what God does in my life this time. I can't wait to see what He's planning for me. What He's planning for me. How many of you guys were at that concert the other night? Who was it? Jason Gray. How many of y'all were there? Quite a few of you. But they said this man could sing great, but when he got up there to speak, he stuttered. Could barely speak. Could barely say anything. But he knew when God's anointing was on him in his singing, he was a different man. He was a different person. It wasn't him singing, but knowing what God could do through him. You say, you know what? I'm not good with talking to people. How could I minister to anybody? I'm shy. There's no way I could get out of my bubble and talk to people. It's not about you doing it. It's about you allowing God to work through you. It's about you allowing God to come in your life and use you as a tool, as an empty vessel, saying, God, here I am. I give myself away so you can use me. I love those songs. That if you listen to a lot of these songs, it's what you should be crying out to God. That's what worship's about, saying, God. It's about singing and crying out to God and listening to the words that you're saying, not just singing verses, not just singing some words. This is what we do. This is worship. We lift our hands. We're done. We're listening to words and we're crying out to God. That God is waiting for our praise. He's waiting for our worship, to worship him. That as the words come, begin to listen to what you're saying to him. And say, God, please use me. A lot of times you'll see me stop in the middle of singing. And I'll just begin to pray. And I'm like, yes, that's right, God. God, please use me. Here I am, Lord. Use me, God. Use all of me. Whatever you need, God. There's something in me, Lord. Take it away, God. That we need to begin to cry out to him. The blind man that Jesus healed. He told him to go to the river, since he was blind, and wash the clay, the mud off his eyes, and he would see. This man went, washed his eyes, and he could see. He came into the presence of Jesus one way, and he left another. But not only did he leave physically changed, but I guarantee you he left spiritually changed. When he walked away and people asked him, I could see it. They probably said, well, what do you think of this Jesus? What do you think of this guy? I was blind, but now I can see. Then I think it was more of a statement than him physically being blind, but spiritually he was blind and he was able to see. He was able to see how strong God really is, how great God really is, how much God really loved him. That, wow, he could take away my pain. He could take away my blindness. I was blind, but now I can see. This, the same aspect is when we come into church, when we come into the presence of God, that we walk in a lot of times into this whole Jesus thing blinded, not knowing what it's about, not knowing what's going on, but we should leave being able to see. We should leave a changed person going, wow, this is what my Jesus is all about. You should get passionate about this. Get excited about this. As excited as you get about baby Chloe right now, you should get excited about Jesus. Do you know what my God did? Do you know how strong my God is? Do you know what my God brought me out of? Do you know what kind of person I used to be? Do you know where I came from? Do you know what kind of mess I was in before? But God changed me. It's all about change. But change needs to be a good thing in our life. I don't want somebody to come up to me and they say, man, you've really changed. But I want them to come up to me like, wow, you've changed. Wow, look who you've become. Wow, I can't believe that. People probably look at me and go, wow, I know this was God because I know who you were before. I know what kind of person you were. That the only way that you could change is because of God. That should be the change in our life that people can say, you know what? There's more of a change here than any man could have changed. There's something that's changed your life more powerful than anything. We must walk by the promises God gives us. How do we know the promises? By opening your Bible. Opening your Bible. He gives us so many promises over and over and over again. Let's turn to Joshua chapter 1, verse 6 through 7. It says, be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to the fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Prosper wherever you go. And it says, only be strong and very courageous. Basically, to be of good courage, to seek God, expecting to find him. When you seek after something, you expect to find it. It's the same way with God. For example, you lose your keys in your house, right? When you seek after those keys to find it, in the back of your head, are you thinking, I'm not going to find my keys? Or do you think, I'm going to find these. I'm going to find them. They got to be around here somewhere because I know that it's here. I obviously haven't left because I can't go anywhere. My keys are here. I love that when you lose your keys and somebody says, well, do you think you left them over there at this place? I drove here, didn't I? Seek God expecting to find him. When you go to God with your prayers, when you seek after God, a lot of times we pray, we ask for things, but we don't expect it to get answered. We don't expect that God's going to come through a lot of times. Like, God, please heal me of this. God, you know I really need this. Oh, Lord. Oh, so-and-so needs a healing. God, heal her. Thank you, Lord. A lot of times we go through the motions, not even expecting anything. But be courageous. Be of good courage when you go to God. Seek him, expecting to find him. Seek him, expecting an answer. Seek him, knowing what his word says. Knowing that if he says he will provide, he will. Knowing if he says you're healed, you are. Whatever it is that you ask in my name, I shall give it unto you. So if we're going to seek after God, seek him and expect to find him. When you're, are you being attacked? Are you going through things? Are you afflicted? Are you broken? Be brave and courageous in all of those things. Be brave and courageous. I'm broken. I'm going through something hard. Be brave. Be courageous. Know who your God is. Know who is on your side, that if I'm for you, who can be against you? Yes, he says, I am for you. Wait. So you mean he wants me to live a prosperous life? He's for me. He wants me to be healed? He wants me to live in peace? He wants me to have joy? He wants me to have love? He wants me to have a good time? A good time in church? He's for us. How awesome is that? We have a God that's for us, not a God that says, it's just about me. Come on, worship me. But we have a God, yes, he wants us to worship him, but he loves us in return. Even when we don't worship him, he still loves us. Even when we deny his very existence, he still loves us. How awesome is that? How many times do we know what the Word of God says and we still don't do it? Yeah. Maybe it's not a sin or we're breaking a law, but when God says, believe what you've asked for, come to me courageous, come to me believing you will get what you've asked for, believing you will find me when you seek me. And we don't, he probably feels the same way. Really? You knew what my word says. Why don't you believe this? You know what it says. I've told you. Yeah. You say you believe this is my words, but you don't believe I'm going to do that for you? Here I am. Come after me. Joshua 1:8-9. Let's continue. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. Day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous. Wait, he said it will make our way prosperous. So if we meditate in his word day and night, not let it depart from our mouth, and observe to do according to all that is written, for then you will make your way prosperous. And then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. Know the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So he said he's for us, and he said he's with us. So if he's with us all the time, everywhere that we go, and he's for us, I think the odds are for us. What do you think? He's with us, so he knows what we're going through. When we go through it, he's there with us. He goes, you know what? I'm for you. I'm with you and I'm for you. So here's the deal, guys. He's like, I've got all the power. I'm God. I can pretty much do whatever I want. So I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to be for you. So whatever you need, I'm here. I'm here. Wait. I hear you complaining you're not going to make it. Wait, guys. Mr. and Mrs. Christians, what's that doubt I hear? What's that unbelief? That lack there of faith? Oh, ye of little faith. Don't you remember what my word says? Don't you remember what you just read? I'm here with you. I'm here, and I'm for you. Why wouldn't I come through for you? I've given you scriptures. I've given you a guideline of how to live, to answer all your questions, to have a prosperous life. He didn't just say have a rich life. He said a prosperous. Have a prosperous, have a life of good success, it says. But a lot of times, our mind has been so trained to look at the consequences, look at the circumstances, that we get our eyes off of God. That we get our eyes off of where they should really be, because the world has trained us, got to see it to believe it. But it's time we get our eyes back on God. Get our eyes like Joshua did. So you've got these people that complain constantly that he's trying to bring into the promised land. You've got Moses, your leader, the one you looked up to more than anybody. The one that says, we're going to get to the promised land. And he dies. And then God appoints you to take this void position that was no longer there. God, if Moses couldn't do it, there's no way I can do it. Think about what must have been going through his head. The great Moses? The one that did so many things for you. Wait, I gotta fill in his shoes? I gotta take his place? What do you mean? I can't do that. And all these complainers back here, God, I can't handle these people. How that must have been for him. But he said, be strong, be courageous, don't be afraid. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. But he tells him how to do this. He says, to meditate in my word day and night. Observe basically the law. Do according to what is written, for then your way will be prosperous. He didn't say just live the way you want to live and you're going to have a prosperous life. He didn't say just do your thing. He said, obey what I tell you and I'll make your way prosperous. I'll give you success. I'll bring you into that promised land. How many of you are ready for that promised land? How many are ready to get into something greater for your life? Something more than you could ever imagine. That this promised land, they just heard about it their whole lives. It's something they heard about, but they hadn't been able to experience it. All these people complaining that never made it. And God's saying, Joshua, have faith. Have faith. Live by faith and it would happen. The thing is, they were at the border of getting in. They were so close. They just needed a little bit further to get in. But Moses never made it. Moses, the one that was faithful, he was clear-sighted, he was large-hearted and never made it. How Joshua must have felt in that position. But he who placed him in that position, which was God, also promised him certain things, promised that he'd stand by him and he'd strengthen him. And I'm going to tell you what, when God brings you into a time in your life, when God brings you into something, he promises he'll be there for you. He promises he'll strengthen you. He promises he'll be by your side. How awesome is that? I can't do this alone. You don't have to. You don't have to do it alone because you have somebody greater that is there for you, somebody greater that wants to help you, to give you directions. He basically said this, take it, I'll be your food. Live upon it. My word, carry it as a torch. When the path seems dark, it will give you light. It should be the wand of truth when in doubt, and it should be your staff to hold you up when you feel too weak or too old to keep going. That it'll give you that strength.
We hope you've enjoyed the message today from Redemption Church. For a copy of today's program or to partner with us, please visit us at www.redemptionchurchstl.com.